ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashant Nilayam, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, our series on every Thursday morning, wherein we go back in time and relive some of those beautiful stories of the Sakti Sai saga that happened in the early years, in the 1940s and 1950s. When we started this series, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, the idea was we will recount all those beautiful tales associated with Bhagwan's Prashant Nilayam, how the ashram came into being in 1950 and how it was in those early years, 1950, 51 to 55. And even as we read many books, talked to many people, interacted with all devotees to get those stories and to document the beautiful events that unfolded during that phase, the early phase of Bhagwan's life. Many beautiful stories from the 1940s and the late 1940s surfaced, and I feel that these stories are so beautiful that all of us should partake this amritam. This is the Sai Bhagavata Kathamritam. This is the nectar of the saga of Satya Sai. And so in the last few episodes, I've been sharing with you many beautiful tales that have been recorded by Srimati Nagamani Purnaya. She was very blessed to come to Bhagwan way back in the 40s, and given that she was the wife of the chief commercial officer of railways at that time, and one of those ladies who came to Bhagwan who was in tune with the times, and she was educated. She has documented some of those beautiful stories and events that she was personally witness to. Thanks to her that we are able to get a glimpse of how it was to live with Bhagwan in those days. There are very, very few people like her who have penned down their days with Bhagwan, and whatever they have penned also is a little drop in the ocean, because every day, every moment, there was something fantastic happening. There were people coming from different places, and Swami was spending so much time with the devotees right from morning 5 till evening 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10. That is how Bhagwan's day was in that era. And in the book The Divine Leela of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, Srimati Purnaya has gifted us some of these tales. She talks about this experience of a devotee who had been with Bhagwan when Swami was much younger, and this devotee used to take care of the old mandir, what is called as Pata Mandir now. In 1950, Bhagwan moved into Prashant Nilayam. Once Bhagwan came to stay in Prashant Nilayam, the earlier mandir began to be called as the old mandir or Path Mandir. So once Bhagwan was leaving on a tour and was to be away from Puttaparthi for 2 months. And this lady devotee, in spite of her illness, She walked across the river with Bhagwan and she went up to the car. She wanted to see Bhagwan till the last second. She did not want to miss any moment with Bhagwan because anyway Swami was going away for 2 months. And even as Bhagwan left, she prayed to Swami, "Swami, please bless me with your darshan every day till you return." And Bhagwan said, "All right, I will do. I shall do so," Swami said. And Bhagwan told with great love. And that very night at 10 o'clock, when she was praying, she felt a bright light near her. And in the midst of that light, she saw Swami standing near her, wearing his bright red robe. She had the darshan of Bhagwan, and then Bhagwan disappeared. Just as Bhagwan had promised her, "Yes, I will give you darshan every day," that is what happened on the very first night. With joy in her heart, she told Swami, "How kind you are, Swami. The very first day, just as you had told me, you gave me darshan so beautifully." And this happened the second night too. The following night at 1 o'clock, she saw Bhagwan was emerging from her kitchen wearing a white robe, and Swami gave her darshan. Every night, in some way or the other, she was seeing Swami, she was feeling Swami. The third night, Bhagwan came out of the bathroom with a towel over his robe, and Swami gave her darshan. On the fourth day, when the devotees were all singing bhajans in the mandir, Swami was seen standing outside the window, listening to the bhajans for a little while, and then disappearing. Every day, she had the darshan of Bhagwan, and every day was unique, every day was beautiful, every day was so unexpected darshan of Bhagwan, unexpected blessing of Bhagwan. And this is what happened for the next 2 months, just as Bhagwan had given his word, "I will give you darshan every day," every single day, some way or the other, Swami would give her the chance to feel him, to see him. And when Bhagwan returned, the devotees who were with Swami during that tour, they came and told this lady, "You know what? Swami was telling us that he was giving you darshan daily here at Prashanthi Nilayam, even while he was far away from here and he was among us." And they said, "We want to sit with you tonight and we want to see whether Swami would give us also that darshan." Now, after Bhagwan returned, Swami started staying in the new mandir. And the devotees, having heard from Bhagwan's lips that he is giving darshan to this lady every day, they said, "Let us see if we too are blessed with such an opportunity." And this lady said, "Okay, you all can come, you can sit with me in the old mandir. Let us pray to Swami. We don't know if Swami will, he'll give us darshan." And so they sat with her and they prayed for a long time. But there was no sign of Bhagwan's robe or no any indication of Bhagwan's presence or his darshan. And so the devotees felt disappointed and they went to sleep. But one devotee continued to sit with her and meditate. And after a while, there was a loud noise that was heard coming from the sky. And this lady and the other devotee, they looked at the sky and they saw a bright light descending from the sky. And in the center of that light was Bhagwan. And Swami gave them darshan for a few seconds and then merged into the darkness. enacting his beautiful leelas in those early years. Even as he was there in one place, he was giving darshan to the devotees. Miles away, he was responding to the prayer of the devotees, letting them know he is there everywhere. He is there in the sky. He is there in every part of the universe. He is there in our thoughts. In fact, there was one occasion when this devotee became very sick. She found it difficult to eat. She used to just eat some barley water. That's the only thing she could consume. And Bhagwan appeared before her. And Swami was holding leaves of some herb in one hand. And in the other hand, there was a golden gada, the mace, in the other. And Bhagwan was wearing a robe made of golden lace. And the beauty of his face was beyond compare. The leaves looked as if they had just been plucked from perhaps the Sanjeevani Parvatam, the Sanjeevani mountain. And the mace, the gada, also looked like maybe that was of Hanuman. And Bhagwan, holding those leaves, asked this devotee to eat the leaves. And then Bhagwan himself took that container of barley water which was there next to her. And Swami gave it to her and told her to drink. And after she had eaten the leaves and drunk the barley water, Swami disappeared. This is what happened in the dream. It was as real as it could be. The next morning, she found that she was completely cured of her illness. During the Navratri celebrations that year, her relatives had come to Puttaparthi and they stayed with her. On the day of their return, they had got up early in the morning and they were making arrangements for their departure. And when this devotee opened the door, she found a pair of new slippers, red in color with gold lace on them. And she was wondering, how did these slippers come here? Her relatives said that the slippers do not belong to any of them. So wrapping the slippers in a paper, this devotee put them away. And that night, Bhagwan comes to her in her dream and Swami says, "Those slippers are mine. Keep them in your puja room." Even though Bhagwan had told this to her in the dream, somehow she felt that maybe it was just a dream and she still did not keep the slippers in the puja room. And a few days later, when she had the opportunity to physically have darshan of Bhagwan, Swami asked her why she had not kept the slippers in the puja room. And she said, "Swami, I was not sure. Please forgive me. If I was absolutely confident, I would have definitely kept them in the puja." So this is how, of course, after that, she kept them in the puja room and continued to worship them. This is the Leela of Bhagwan in that Leela phase, in the first phase, the first 16 years of Bhagwan's life. Swami had declared that it will be the Leela phase. It will be only to attract the devotees through the beautiful miracles, beautiful instances of his power, instances of his omniscience, omnipotence. And this is what was happening in the early years, in the 40s and in the 50s, early 50s. Some devotees had come to Puttaparthi from a far off place to have Bhagwan's darshan. Swami was not in Puttaparthi at that time. And they felt very disappointed and very sad. They told one another, "We have come from such a long distance to have darshan of Bhagwan, but this is our misfortune, he is not here." And even while they were talking thus, they saw Swami walking in front of them and going inside the mandir. And they were so excited, "Swami is back, Swami is back, Swami has come back." And see, they start telling everyone, Swami's come back. The devotees living in Puttaparthi, they heard these people saying, Swami's come back, and they rushed to see Swami, but they could not find Swami anywhere. And only then they realized that Bhagwan had given darshan only to them, because they were feeling bad. They were feeling that we had come from such far off place and we have not had the chance. How kind Bhagwan is. They started offering their gratitude to Swami. Swami, you did not want to disappoint us, and that's the reason why you gave us this special darshan. Everything that happens in our life is an open book in front of you, Bhagwan, and how you respond every time is as varied and as beautiful as the waves of the ocean and the stars in the sky. There was another remarkable, amazing incident that had happened, as a doctor recalls. This doctor had gone to Puttaparthi with his family, and Bhagwan took all his devotees to the sandy bed of River Chitravati. Swami seemed very happy that day, and like a little child, Bhagwan was playing with the sand, making a mound of it, and then Swami would thrust his hand into that sand mound. And that day Swami brought out a hot Mysore pak, a sweet, and it was in the shape of a cube and with perhaps 2.5 inches on every side. It was a little Mysore pak sweet, and Swami took that little sweet and Swami started breaking little bit of it and started giving that to everyone present. There were 30 people and everyone got a piece from Bhagwan's hand, even though it was a very little sweet. Similarly, on another day, Swami took out a mango fruit from the sands, and Swami extracted the juice out of it and gave that juice to everyone with his loving hands. And the devotees who had this opportunity to partake that juice, they say every drop of it tasted sweeter than the last, because each little drop that came afterwards had stayed longer in Bhagwan's sweet hand. And Swami inquired who would be leaving Puttaparthi the next morning to return to their homes. And this doctor stood up and he said, Swami, he intended leaving the next day. Swami called him to one side, patted him on his shoulder, waved his hand, and now Swami took out a postcard sized picture of Shirdi Sai. Shirdi Sai sitting in the Dwaraka Mai. And this doctor says, from the time he got that picture from Bhagwan's hand, Shirdi Sai Baba's picture from the hands of Sri Satya Sai, all his domestic problems got solved. Everything in his life became smooth. This is an incident that had happened in the 40s. Everyone who came to Prashanthi Nilayam during that period, everyone who had the opportunity to spend even a few moments with Bhagwan in that era, was blessed with so many memorable moments, because every day Swami would go to the sands of Chitravati. Every day Swami would give interview to scores of people. Every day he would interact with almost everyone who had come. And that was how blissful it was to be with Bhagwan in the 40s, in the 50s. He is Satyam Shivam Sundaram Puttaparthi Shat Chakravarti, as Swami said, the Puttaparthi Lord had bound the devotees through his love, made them to come to Puttaparthi, Prashanthi Nilayam, and experience that love, the love that one would have experienced if they had lived with Krishna. That same Krishna Prema was now being conferred as Sai Prema, as the Lord of Puttaparthi to everyone who had the opportunity to be there with Bhagavan.
Thank you.
Shanti Purisha Prashanti Vasa Sai Murari, the story of this Lord of Puttaparthi, who is Sai Murari, are endless. His glories are so enthralling. In a family in Andhra Pradesh, the daughter had visited Puttaparthi and she had told her younger brother all about Bhagwan. And the boy was very much impressed by what he had heard, and he started doing puja to Swami from that day onwards. But the father was an atheist and he told his son not to perform any worship to Swami. But in spite of his father's admonition, the boy used to go into the garden stealthily. He would pluck flowers and he would hide them in his shirt and he would secretly worship Swami. Somehow he had this connect with Swami after listening to all the stories that his sister had told. But the father found out that the son was secretly worshipping Swami, and he got very annoyed and he gave strict instructions to the son that there should be no worship of Bhagwan in that house. And when the father said this, the next day the boy came home with a swollen leg and he could not move about freely. So the parents got worried and the medicines were administered. A doctor came and all the checkup was done, but the medicines did not heal the boy. And in spite of all the advice given by the doctor and adhered to by the boy, the condition only became worse day by day. But what they saw was the boy on Thursdays was better. He was able to walk, he was able to do his puja. But the moment he finished doing his puja, again his leg would be swollen. And the elder sister, who was instrumental in turning the boy's devotion towards Swami, she always felt that it was Bhagwan's leela. It was some way of Bhagwan trying to tell them something. And she made bold to go to the father, her father, and tell that, you know, all this is happening because we have problem worshipping Swami. If we worshipped Swami, my brother would get well. And they saw that the son also was liking everything about Swami. Even though he had not seen Swami, he liked everything related to Swami. And the sister, whenever she was seeing this brother, she was getting convinced more and more that this was just another leela of Bhagwan. This is not a medical problem. This has been orchestrated by Bhagwan to teach us a lesson. And when the daughter told the father that, you know, all we have to do is worship Swami, the father got even more angry and told her not to talk about Bhagwan ever again with him. And the father began to call other doctors and take him to other hospitals. And the more he did, the worse the boy's condition became. And in course of time, he became so sick, he was just not able to eat anything. And it came to a point where no doctor now gave any hope of his recovery. Now the father was perturbed. He thought definitely a good doctor will be able to solve this problem. But it was only getting bad day by day, in spite of all the medical efforts. And it was only at this stage, at the breaking point, that the fear of God dawned on the father, and he said, maybe we should worship Baba. And he himself gathered flowers and he said, let's worship Swami. And the moment they started doing this, the boy's condition began to improve and he became completely all right in a few weeks. All the doctors were surprised. Needless to say, the whole family turned to Bhagwan. They became Bhagwan's devotees. Swami has his own ways of drawing people to Him. Sometimes some people get it the easy way. Sometimes some people have to be taught in a manner that it solidly remains in their heart. Sometimes some people have to be put through a process so that they come to realize of the divinity that is, who is around them. Every person has his own journey to Bhagwan, and Swami, who never looked at our bodies but only at our souls, knows what is the best remedy for each one of us to turn us Godward. And that is how it was. The only difference in the early years, you had so many people who had this opportunity to talk to Swami. They had this opportunity to physically interact with Swami. Of course, in the early years, it was a small number who could have many interactions. And in the later years, of course, there are so many people who still had interactions. But as time went on, the number of people who could really get interview of Bhagwan, could talk to Swami, became fewer and fewer. But the Leelas continued, and I think these stories even now continue. Bhagwan in his own ways introduces himself to us. If we don't open our heart, there will be times when he will break open the heart, because there is no other way. We have to learn to develop that faith, and that faith is the bedrock of spirituality. And once you have that faith, fantastic things happen. There was a family consisting of a husband, wife and three young sons. The wife was a devotee of Shirdi Sai, and after having come to know Bhagwan, she got a photograph of Swami and she kept it in her puja room and she started doing regular worship. One day a friend had come to the house, a family friend, and seeing Bhagwan's photograph in the puja room, he began to criticize Swami and said, no, all of these claims of these devotees about the miracles performed by Swami, they are all fraudulent. How can you follow this man? The husband also believed and subscribed to what this guest was telling. And the husband said, we should not have worship of Baba in our house, and he was completely against keeping Swami's photograph in the puja room, and he started torturing his wife for doing this. And when the wife was adamant and said, no, I want to worship Swami, and he got so wild that he sent the wife and the sons out of the house, and he locked the house from outside and he just went away. And the wife did not know what to do. She could not get into the house. She was outside the house with the children. She was waiting for her husband to come back for many hours, and the husband did not come back, and she was at the mercy of the elements outside. She did not have any money to even feed the children. The window of their puja room was open, so somehow she extended her hand, and she could reach the hundi, that the small container used for keeping money intended for offering to God. So somehow she was able to reach the hundi, and so she took the hundi and she prayed to Swami and said, Swami, I know this is the money that we had kept for you as an offering to you, but now we are all hungry and my husband has locked the house and gone somewhere. I will take money from this hundi and we will just buy something so that we can survive, and we want to come to Puttaparthi, Swami. And so she put her hand into the hundi and there was a 20 rupee note. She took that 20 rupees and she said, Swami, I'm coming to Puttaparthi. My husband has abandoned us and he's gone. You have to take pity on me because all my faith and trust is on you, Swami. And so she takes a horse-drawn cab, a jhatka, and she goes to the railway station. And she tells this jhatka man that she will pay him once they come back. And the man disagreed. The man with the horse carriage, he was very happy to take them to the railway station and drop them there and didn't even ask for money. And they got into the train and they alighted from the train at Bukkapatnam. Then they took a bus to come to Puttaparthi. The children were hungry. They had not had anything to eat. Even this lady was 3 months pregnant actually. But when they were in the bus, there was a kind Parsi gentleman who shared food with this mother and the children. It was 1 o'clock in the night when they arrived at Puttaparthi. It was very dark. Everybody in Puttaparthi obviously had gone to sleep. Her children also were very sleepy and she had no strength to carry them. Just then, a few volunteers came, picked up the children and asked her to follow them. And the volunteers said, Swami had told these volunteers to give accommodation to this lady and her children in a house and to serve them food. Swami had also said that she and her children could eat anything in the canteen and they don't have to pay. And this lady wondered, how did Swami know of our arrival? How has he made all these arrangements for us in the middle of the night? And she was so grateful to Bhagwan for his grace, for being with her in this very difficult time. She continued to stay in Puttaparthi for 2 months. She was so happy, blissful time with Bhagwan. But after 2 months, it was time for the children to join school. And so she prostrated at Bhagwan's feet and she told Swami, Swami, I have to go because my children have to go to school. And she told Swami, Swami, you have always saved me and you have saved my children. These 2 months you gave us refuge. Please look after us always. She said, once I remember, Swami, on an earlier occasion when I had been beaten by my husband, I took my children into the puja room and I tried to take poison and give poison to my children too because I was unable to bear the torture. But when I was mixing the poison, I saw your image in the cup and I heard those words, it is not good to do this act. It's not good to take poison. Swami, it was you who saved me and you saved the children. You have been doing this. You did this now. Please continue to take care of us. And so saying, Swami gave, when Bhagwan heard her prayer, Swami gave her 100 rupees. It's all in the 40s and 100 rupees is a very big amount in those days. Swami gave her money and Swami told her, don't worry. Once you reach the railway station, your husband will be there at the railway station. He will receive you and from now on, he will be very kind to you. Don't worry. And just as Bhagwan had said, the husband was there at the station to receive the wife and the children. This is the love of the Mata, the Jagan Mata, the Divine Mother. Once you have faith, then Bhagwan is there at every step. At every step to take care of you. It all depends on how steady is our conviction. It depends on how strong is our trust in Him. Once Bhagwan was in Chennai, and a devotee came there to have Bhagwan's darshan. He had heard of all these leelas of Bhagwan. And this devotee told Swami, Swami, my wife has gone insane and no doctor is able to cure her. Bhagwan said, you do one thing, you and your wife, you go to Puttaparthi and do seva for 12 days there. And the devotee said, Swami, but you are here, you are in Chennai, why should I go to Puttaparthi and do seva? Swami said, you do as I ask you to do. Doesn't matter if I am here, you go to Puttaparthi and do seva. I am there also. I am there everywhere. And so listening to Bhagwan, this man at once set out for Puttaparthi. Though he was feeling sad that he had to go away from Chennai, where Swami was actually there physically. But just as Bhagwan had said, he performed seva for 10 days at Puttaparthi. And then he thought that, if I include the 2 days of travel between Chennai and Puttaparthi, one day coming and one day going, so if I include that, then it becomes 12 days as per Swami's order. So after the 10th day of seva, he made preparations for his return. And before that, he performed the last day's puja in a grand manner. He was helping in the puja at the mandir. So the last day seva, he did it in a very nice way. And when he was about to perform Mangalarti, about to perform Arati, he noticed that in one of the big photographs of Swami, two fingers of Swami were pointing at him. These fingers had not been there in the photograph before. And he got very frightened. And he started exclaiming loudly, my God, what are these two fingers? How are these two fingers seen in the photograph now? The other devotees also said, yeah, they had never seen these two fingers on this photograph. And all the devotees were thinking, what does this mean? And only then it occurred to this man that Swami had told him to do seva for 12 days. But this man had short-circuited it. He had done for 10 days and he was happily including the 2 days of him coming and going also as the days when he has done seva. And Swami was indicating to him from the photograph that you have 2 more days at Parthi. You have to serve for 2 more days. Complete the seva. In fact, when he stayed for 2 more days and he completed the seva, on the second day, those two fingers of Bhagwan in the photograph resumed their normal position. This is how Bhagwan constantly watching whether are we following the instructions, are we serious about following the instructions, or are we all the time taking shortcuts, are we all the time trying to conveniently follow his message, conveniently understand his message, conveniently twist and modify the message as per our convenience. And when that happens, Bhagwan was telling this devotee, I am watching, I am watching. The stories of these early times are just pointers to how Bhagwan, who is all-knowing, who is the master of nature and master of time and the Antaryami, who is the one who listens to every single thought that arises, how he was transforming people, how he was guiding people, how he was ensuring when you walk on the spiritual path, when you listen to the divine, there cannot be any compromise. Once thousands of people had come to attend Bhagwan's discourse in Bangalore. When it was over, Swami called a man in the audience by his name, and the man was very surprised that Swami knew his name and Swami was calling out for him, because there were thousands present there. So this man went to Bhagwan and he prostrated before Swami. Swami instantly waved his hand and Swami materialized 2 copies of his photograph. And then Swami gave these 2 photographs of him to this man. And Swami said, give each one to your 2 wives. Give one each to your 2 wives. And the moment Swami said that, the man was puzzled, because No one knew that actually he had two wives. He was wondering, how did Swami know this? This was his life secret. And Swami told him, you come during the Navaratri festival, you and your troupe, you come to Puttaparthi and give a dance performance. He was an artist, dancer. Swami said, you come and do a performance in Prashantinilayam. And the man who was so startled with what Bhagwan had told, he readily agreed. And that year's Navaratri, this man came to Puttaparthi with his troupe and he was waiting for the chance to perform. Swami asked them to give performance that evening itself, and when they were started making preparations for the performance, they found to their dismay that they had forgotten to bring the makeup kit with them. And when they were trying to figure out how are they going to perform, because it won't be impressive without those makeup, how can do a dance without the makeup kit? And just then Swami came into the room and Swami asked them if they are ready for the performance, and the troop leader went to Bhagwan and he said, Swami, we are very sorry, Swami, we have forgotten to bring the makeup kit and it is difficult to give the performance without any makeup. Swami said, don't worry, I will get you the makeup kit. And just then a boy came in with a makeup kit and told the troop leader, you had left this box in the jhatka, in that horse carriage. And all of them were surprised because they wondered how the box was left in the horse carriage. They had actually forgotten to pack the makeup kit at home itself. They had not brought it only. But this boy says he found it in the horse carriage. Anyway, so they immediately got ready and they gave a beautiful performance. And the next day, before leaving for Bengaluru, they came to Bhagwan. And when they were prostrating at his feet and taking leave of Bhagwan, the leader of the troop, he thought how useful it would be if Swami would give them 150 rupees. Because they incurred a lot of expenditure to come and go for this performance. And the moment he got this thought, Swami patted him on his back and Swami instantly gave him 150 rupees. The man was once again zapped. My God, how did he read my mind? Give me the exact sum that I had thought of. That is Sri Satya Sai. The Sai who is always inside us, listening to every conversation. It is the Sai who is the indweller in every person of this universe, every being of this universe. He is the one who is giving a Bhagavad Gita to all of us from within. And if we are tuned to him, we can be guided on the right path. And he would hold our hand and take us with so much love. There is nothing that he does not know about us. All he needs to know is, have we turned our mind away from the world towards God? That is the only thing Swami is looking at. And how intense is our longing for God? How attached are we to that which is permanent? There's a man who was suffering from piles and he could not endure the pain. Someone told him if he went to Puttaparthi, Swami would cure him. So he came here and he had Bhagwan's darshan. He was suffering a lot and he fervently prayed one night to Swami, saying, Swami, I don't want to leave because I cannot really bear this pain. If you can allow me to die, Swami, somehow, because this is too much for me to bear. As he was praying, he just fell asleep. The next morning when he got up, he found that the pain had completely gone. He had been cured of the illness. In fact, there was blood on his dhoti. And it is then that he realized that Swami had perhaps come in the night and Swami had already operated on him and he didn't even realize. Everything has happened in his sleep. That is the grace of Bhagavan. He can cure us in an instant. What it would take months for doctors to operate and heal and recover. Swami would just do it just like that. But we have to go to him. And we have to tell him, Swami, other than you there is no... I have no one as my refuge. We have to turn our mind to the divine. This man was so thrilled, he went on telling to his friends about this incident, and he became a completely new man. He became a complete devotee of Bhagavan. If you read the accounts written by Srimati Nagmani Purnaya or by Vijayamma Garu or the book written Shri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti or Loknath Sai or Shri Satya Sai Anandadai by Kannamma, all these books are filled with such beautiful stories from the early life of Bhagavan, early phase of the Shri Satya Sai Avatar. And as you read these chapters, you get a glimpse of how unending is the Sai Bhagavatam. And every story is a lesson, every story is a pointer, every story is a direction on how we should move towards our destination. It is only to confirm our faith, it is only to strengthen our resolve, and it is only to energize us on this path that Bhagavan blessed us with these experiences. And as we listen to these stories, let us not have half-hearted faith, but let us cultivate that absolute rock-solid faith on his name. And if we do not take any short circuit when it comes to God, we will experience the profusion of Bhagavan's love and mercy. And that is how our life will find bliss every second. Dear listeners, we'll continue this series, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, recounting these lovely tales in the coming episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. As always, if you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. I will leave you with a very beautiful bhajan, adoring Bhagwan as the Jagan Mata, adoring Bhagwan as the mother of all of us, as the Divine Mother Principle who takes care of us every second, who knows us through and through, and the one whose compassion and love for us is beyond measure.
Namaste. Thank you.